Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 12th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to teach us day by day the events that are to take place around us. We thank you for warning us in advance. And today, as we continue, we ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been taking a look at the subject of the Rothschilds, a very wealthy, well-known family, coming together with the Vatican and somewhere in the region of 100 really wealthy individuals across the entire planet, moving in the direction of 200 million employees and in 163 countries to follow a new plan of financing. And I'm sure that you are going to discover, as time progresses, that the Vatican has not only taken control of the bringing together of the religions of the world, not only taken control of influencing the politics in the world, but also has taken command of the financials of the world. And so today, I'd like to take a look at the direct descendant of the Rothschild family, Lady de Rothschild. In an article found in the Reuters website, published on December the 15th, 2020, here's the title of that article: Lady de Rothschild's Road to the Vatican. Lady de Rothschild's Road to the Vatican. Now, before I get there, before we read the article, let me just tell you something about the Rothschild family. There were a family of five sons, and their father created a banking empire during the 1800s. And today, the Rothschilds still have a collective net worth of about $400 billion. Known as one of the wealthiest families in history, the Rothschilds have become quite influential. As the name would imply, the Rothschilds have Jewish roots, and they originated in Frankfurt, Germany. They eventually established an international banking empire with a strong presence in major cities like London and Paris and Vienna and Naples. Since coming to prominence, the Rothschilds have been elevated to the noble rank of the United Kingdom and the Holy Roman Empire. And that is something that you need to understand. The coming together of the wealthy in the nation along with the Holy Roman Empire. And they have also given their own coat of arms. They've also been given their own coat of arms. Their fortune peaking began during the 19th century, during which they had the largest private fortune in the world. And to this day, the record-setting private fortune has yet to be surpassed, with inflation taking into account. By the 20th century, the Rothschilds' fortune had declined, but they were still outstandingly high on the scale. Now, that's a little bit of the context of this family that we're dealing with today. And the title, again, in the Reuters website, in the article published on December the 15th, 2020, Lady de Rothschild's Road to the Vatican. Here's some of that article. Oliver Bausch interviews the financier leading the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism, which has partnered with the Vatican in its drive to reform markets and companies to meet the unprecedented social and environmental challenges ahead. Listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. 5 years on from Pope Francis' call for mankind to take heed of the climate crisis and care for our common home, his message has landed in the highest echelons of global capitalism. Last week, a group of 27 titans of global business representing the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, that's the name of the organization, inked a partnership with the Vatican and pledged to help build a fairer and more trustworthy economic system, a year after traveling to meet the Pope in Rome last November. All right? In a virtual address to these self-styled and this is what they call themselves, guardians of inclusive capitalism. Among them, COP26 Special Envoy for Finance, Mark Carney, and the CEOs of Salesforce, Johnson & Johnson, MasterCard, BP, Visa, State Street, Bank of America, as well as State of California Treasurer Fiona Mai. These individuals met with the Pope Francis, who urged them to make capitalism an instrument for integral human well-being. 3 years in the making, this virtual group and their connection were at work as an individual who, until a decade ago, was not so much in existence. But the leader of that group is Lynn Rothschild, a direct descendant of the Rothschild family. After all, as systems go, it worked well for Lady Lynn Rothschild, a successful corporate lawyer turned even more successful entrepreneur. American-born, the Rothschild, the direct descendant of Robert de Rothschild, rose to prominence during the early telecoms boom of the 1980s and 1990s. Successful exits from various startup ventures made her a millionaire many times over. Basically, I was money is good neoliberal person who believed in the sanctity and sanity of free markets. A rising tide lifts all boats and all that, she says. I used to believe that. Today, this same disciple of Wall Street school of unfettered capitalism is to be found standing shoulder to shoulder with the Pope, leading her corporate colleagues up the aisle of inclusive capitalism. So what happened? For an answer, it's necessary to wind back the clock to the financial crisis of 2007-2008. Appalled by the subprime mortgage fiasco and its implications for the 99% who operated outside the corridors of corporate power, she found her convictions unexpectedly challenged. Capitalism might cause some boats to rise, the crisis revealed, but not all boats rose by any means. Could it be fair that monster tankers plied the high seas while dinghies languished in the shallows? So when the Occupy movement appeared a short while later, railing against the 1%, she listened. For a Rothschild, a name intrinsically linked to international banking, that's no small step. At the time, she was chief executive at E.L. Rothschild, a private investment house set up by her and her husband. The firm portfolio includes The Economist Newspaper Limited, among other prize assets. My two sons were leaving university at the time, and I just became shocked by the prospects facing them and other young people their age compared to the prospects I had when leaving school back in the early 1980s. At global consulting firm McKinsey, the then chief executive, Dominic Barton, shared her concerns. The pair convened a task force of leading thinkers from business, policymaking, and academia with a twofold objective: to determine where capitalism had gone wrong and to ask how business might help put it right. So now notice now she's convinced after she took a look at some of the things that were happening to people who were not a part of the rich 1%. And now she's moved in the direction that she's working with Pope Francis to control what happens capitalistically in the entire world. Continuing, the task force final report in 2012 toward a more inclusive form of capitalism defines the term as a system in which everyone, all stakeholders, not just shareholders, derive benefits from business in line with contemporary interpretations of stakeholder capitalism. She went on to set up the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism, an interdisciplinary network of leaders that endeavors to advance the case for broad and sustainable prosperity. Out of this came the Embankment Project, which was considerably imported from professional services from EY, put forward a list of proposed criteria in late 2018 for measuring the value of human capital. So now notice they're moving the entire thing around. And they're not just going to make money, but they're going to make money and make sure that people all over the world benefit from the amount of money that comes in. Now, I don't know if you're noticing what is happening here, because we're talking about Lynn Rothschild and Pope Francis working together. What we have not yet been made aware of is the fact that the exact same point of view and the same mindset has pushed Joe Biden in that $1.9 trillion that was just voted in the House again, that allows for not just the rich to benefit, which was what happened during the past presidency with a tax cut. But now what is happening is that what they want is for people generally, those who are poor, those who have to work each day, to benefit thereby. Not only will they receive that $1,400 check, but those who are unemployed, etc., etc., will receive a monthly or a weekly stipend of something that will help. Now notice that even though the two have not yet been connected, the plan that is being pushed by the Biden administration is lined up entirely with the plan that is moving in the direction of that group that has been put together by Lynn Rothschild. And we will see that the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism will indeed embrace the plan of Biden. Continuing, sustainability-minded investors are frustrated by the absence of comparable data on non-financial issues, she states. Her hope is that the embankment project proposals, which have the endorsement of the Influential Sustainability Accounting Standard Board, may go some way to providing investors with what they want. Benchmarking and the whole idea of a race to the top are really important, but I think that they're hindering until there are standardized, comparable ways for companies to report on non-financial issues. At one point, the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism Task Force counted President Obama's chief economic advisor, Larry Summers, and former Hewlett-Packard chief executive, Carla Farina, as part of their organization. The participation of two such prominent political figureheads, one Democrat, the other Republican, speaks to Lady de Rothschild's fierce belief in bipartisanship. But Lady de Rothschild isn't interested in convening big names for the sake of it, not even the Pope. Like the Pontiff, achieving tangible, hard-hitting outcomes from multi-party coalitions takes a delicate balance of push and pull, she says, plus plenty of listening. With the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism, it's not about what I think should happen. It's about setting a goal and working with people who are willing to make that goal stretch as far as we can. So my idea of success is that no one is 100% happy. I want some people to feel we went too far and others to feel we haven't gone far enough. So notice the direction in which she's heading now. She's putting together what she and the Pope would describe as an entirely different financial world. One in which workers are taken care of. One in which the wealth is sheared downward and not just upward. But of course you will find that this will not just be a financial issue. It will mean that there will be stipulations made with regard to how you use your money and what you use your money for. In other words, it will be the bringing of control into the society, not just on a religious level, not just on a political level, but also on a financial level. Here's how that article continues. It says, the project remains in its early stages, but Lady de Rothschild isn't shy about voicing her feelings about the market's failure to deliver a substantive response to the world's most pressing social or environmental problems. Her strongest criticisms are directed at exchange-traded funds, which see investors passively following a predetermined index of supposed supposedly sustainable stocks. Speaking at a recent Reuters event, Sustainable Business Webinar, she argued that the most ESG-oriented index-linked funds have 90% the same stocks as are in regular ETFs. Instead of generating meaningful impact by directing capital to sustainably innovators in high carbon sectors, ESG investors typically opt for safe stock, such as big tech firms, which generate high returns but make little material difference on carbon emissions or on other critical sustainability issues. So now what she's doing is she's coming together with Pope Francis with the climate change plan to make sure that not only does the financial structure that they're trying to put together in the world deal with the carbon emissions and lower the carbon emissions, but it also attacks the concept of poverty in the world, moving towards something akin to a global lower income payment, not just $15 an hour in the United States of America, but the same amount of money across the entire planet. Now that might sound really wonderful, and I'm sure that the majority of people today who are working for far less than that would be very happy. However, with that is going to come the kind of control that is unanticipated. And Rome has one agenda and one agenda only. And that is to make sure that they are in control of every aspect of life. Not just the religious, but also the political. Not just the political, but now we're looking at the economic. And not just ultimately that, moving in the direction of making sure that they control the military as well. Notice what is happening here. There is this coming together of the Lady Rothschild along with Pope Francis. At the same time, he pays a visit to Iraq, which of course you know is Babylon, ancient Babylon. And of course, you know that they are trying to bring the entire world together, all the religions together at the same time. Pope Francis has clearly made the point that all religions worship the same God. It doesn't matter. The Protestants have signed a document with the Catholics in which they have abandoned the differences in their belief systems for unity's sake. So now you've got all of the religions together. You're moving all the political systems together. And you're moving now to bring the global economics together. That is the kind of healing of the wound that has been foretold in God's word. And you and I need to understand that this is a fulfillment that is taking place as we speak. This is not something that will be done in the future. This is something that is being done now. Which means, of course, that the very next steps are very few, but very near at hand. Which means that you and I need to be ready for that which is going to occur. We need to have an understanding of what it is we believe and why we believe it. But more important, we need to know where to find it. And of course, if you've been listening to Morning Manna today, you realize that we've adjusted our format just a little bit so that at the beginning of the Morning Manna, we give a study, we ask a question, and we give an answer from the scriptures. Today we dealt with the source of the scriptures. And the reason why we're doing this is so that you might have an understanding of what it is you believe, why you believe it, and where to find it. And as you listen, as you drive, you can listen. And it will amaze you what you will remember just from listening. It will become very, very familiar to you over time. And if you have the time, you get into the house, you go onto the website, and you pull down the Morning Manna for today, the 12th, and you begin to listen. You let it play while you're doing other things. It will amaze you how much of that first part of Morning Manna will stick with you as time progresses. We're going to do this because everything that we're seeing in our daily briefing is an indication of what God has told us in advance will come to pass. And in order for us to be ready for that, let me say it again. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. But most important, we know where to find it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you continue to pour out for us. We're grateful for all that you have done. And we ask today that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk with you and talk with you and stand for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, March the 12th, 2021.